Today is July 26, 2018, and this is episode number 472 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'll be your tour guide to the snowy confines of Lake Tahoe. If you'd like to comment on a question you think about the show, shoot us a note over at facebook.com/group/contextmachine. And if you have anything to say, you can
say it there.
Yeah. It's full story. No, you can find the full story. You know, by the way, what is this show? This is show 472. I'm thinking like show 800 or 900. I'm probably going to have this down to get the full story and anything we cover in this podcast. Find the show notes over at macobserver.com/ACM.
Yeah, maybe somewhere between 800 and 900, but don't push it. I mean, we could be talking 1050.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Easily. You say that, and it's true.
I know. I know it's true. And maybe by then I will have re-edited the intro script so it actually says what we are saying.
That's crazy talk, man.
I know. There are several times I've looked at it and thought about doing it, and then I thought we would be lost if we had a script that was actually accurate.
Yeah, like next year we'll be talking to like you know, doing research beforehand and getting our facts together.
Hey, stop right there. You're getting out of control, man.
All righty. So how about our three topics today?
You can tell me what our three topics are, but I want to tell everyone we have a sponsor today. Oh,
that's glorious.
I know.
Sponsors help keep the lights on.
Yeah, that's right. It helps keep the kerosene in the podcast studio lamps.
And the podcast juice flowing.
My nieces, they to this day call whiskey podcasting juice.
It's just so wrong on so many levels, man. How many years before they could legally buy podcast juice?
Well, technically, neither of them can.
I know. How many more years?
Oh, just a couple for one of them.
Well, I see. Well, they've been doing this a long time, though. Just saying.
They have. They bought me really nice bourbon tumblers when they were in elementary school for Christmas. And they, oh my God, they were so proud of this. And they gave, I open up this Christmas present and their eyes are just big. And they're like, Uncle Jeffy, those are special glasses for your podcasting juice. And I look over at my sister and she's just giving me that look, like, you know, the look. Anyhow, our sponsor, unless they call before we get to the break in the show and say, you know, mind.
Right.
LinkedIn Jobs.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it is awesome.
It's a good service.
Totally. Yeah. So anyhow, we have topics.
We do have topics. The future of AI.
Uh-huh.
The T2 kernel panic. Mm-hmm. I think that involves Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm not sure.
I'm assuming it does.
Yeah. And then we're going to update you on my HomePod experiment with using two HomePods for stereo TV sound.
Awesome. I'm looking forward to this.
And me too. I can't wait to find out what I'm going to say.
I know. I can't wait to find out if it's really excited. Or if you have to give a mea culpa to our listeners that told you, yeah, dude, do not do that.
Yeah, we did have some. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, that was just a little teaser, a little foreshadowing.
Right. So instead of getting ahead of ourselves, let's talk about the future.
All right.
Ahead of ourselves. What sparked this? We had the loop thing, right?
Yeah. So Loop Ventures, they did their now annual study, because the first one was last year, where they compared the capabilities of the voice assistant platforms. Last year, it was S Lady, G Lady, and C Lady. And this year,
Cortana.
And
see, that's the least used one. Yeah. I know you weren't, but I think we probably need to say that one. First of all, it's not like anyone actually has that running anywhere. And two, it is the least referenced one.
Okay, fair.
So,
fair,
you know, I figure, you know, we should specify.
Right. Okay. So now with that specification out of the way, this year they added in the A Lady.
Ah, which is weird that was the last one that was added. Even a year ago, the A Lady was pretty popular.
Yeah, and I think they didn't include it last year because the way they were looking at the tests, they were not thinking about it in the broader scale that they needed to, and that's been corrected.
Well, they fixed it now, so that's great.
Yeah. So,
how badly did Alexa trounce everybody else, at least in perceived usefulness and value?
Well, if you think third place is trouncing everyone, then it did kill her.
Really?
Really. So first place was G Lady. And
okay. Interesting.
And second place was the S Lady.
Also interesting.
Yeah, and part of this has to do with the tight integration that Apple has with their own software and hardware. And so that made it so that the S Lady could perform more tasks than other platforms.
All right, I'm looking at your story here, and you broke down, they had five categories, right?
Yes.
Local, commerce, navigation, information, and command.
Mm-hmm.
And let me just start with the second one, commerce, because your example, can you order me more paper towels?
Yeah, this is one place where if the S Lady actually beat everyone else, I would be really surprised. Well, and it did not.
The fact that the A Lady came in third there is really weird to me, because you can't order anything. Is the can you order me paper towels, was that your example or their example?
Their example. I used their examples just.
But you can't order anything through Siri. So why would Siri possibly be second in this test?
From my interpretation of their
because they will tell you at least where you can get Siri will tell you where you can order something,
right? And when you do an order request from the A Lady, what you're going to get is Amazon's own product or whatever they're featuring.
Like, I mean, can you specify?
Yeah.
Can you
So if you specify a very specific brand of product, then you can get that. But if you say, "Hey, lady, I need to buy paper towels," then you're going to get whatever it is that Amazon wants to push to you. Well,
that to me still seems better than simply telling you where you can go get it. Right. I think the example I used for testing when we were talking about this during the pre-show yesterday was paper towels, and then I was told where the nearest Bed Bath & Beyond is, which is not the place where I want to buy paper towels.
All right, so here's one of the examples that they used. They asked the different devices about buying golf clubs. And they're looking for, where can I go buy some golf clubs?
Yeah.
And they got answers that were appropriate from G Lady and S Lady. From A Lady, they got a set of women's golf clubs that Amazon wants to sell.
Without them having specified gender.
Right. Just, I need to go buy golf clubs.
And here you go, your ladies' golf clubs will be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That is that is less than useful and does explain how Amazon might actually perform poorly in that test. I mean, it's just interesting because I mean, you know what this is? This is a reflection of that thing that I've been cranky about the whole time, mm-hmm. which is that Amazon has built a dumb parrot with no actual understanding of what you're saying. Just the ability to recognize key sounds and react to them.
And in this case, even if their system was more intelligent, I still think it wouldn't be as useful because it's not in Amazon's best interest to tell you where the local golf sporting goods store is in your neighborhood.
But it is useful for people to be able to order something.
Yes.
In particular, less so on the golf clubs. I can't imagine paying for golf clubs sight unseen, let alone, I mean, you know, like sight unseen in person, let alone like just over the internet, but whatever, that's to each their own. But when it comes to something like paper towels, you know, if I, especially if Amazon weren't trying to just steer me towards their own products and would instead just automatically order the previous brand of paper towel that I had ordered, that would be the most useful. But my point is that being able to order that with my voice beats being told where to get that by voice.
Sure. I can totally see that. And the scenario you just offered up where the A-lady offers to repurchase something you've already bought, it yes. does that.
Automatically. So if I had already ordered paper towels and I said, hey, and I said, hey, lady, order paper towels, she would just order the ones I'd ordered before.
I believe you have to tell her you want to reorder.
Yeah, we'll see now. That's the dumb parrot. That's the dumb parrot. And you know, that's the thing that I've been down on all along.
Yeah. And I'm with you. I would like a system that is much more intelligent just across the board, not just for shopping. And I want it now, but I totally get that's not where we are with this technology.
Yeah. So what's interesting is that in these tests, local, which is defined as where is the nearest coffee shop? Mm-hmm. Google One, which you would expect.
Sure.
But, and I think 88% is what I'm seeing for Google's score on this particular category. Mm-hmm. And Apple was second with 87%. And that's pretty good, especially when you consider that Apple doesn't have a quote-unquote search engine.
That's a really good point.
Apple does have Maps, and Maps is kind of a search engine, which is, I don't think we've ever pointed that out before. You know, I know my buddy John Keat is always going on, like he always wants Apple to buy DuckDuckGo mm-hmm. because it would basically chop and then not charge for advertising because it would knock Google's cash cow out from under them. And I agree, but I've long wanted Apple to buy a search engine or to roll out the search engine that I am 100% confident they have had in development for years, because I want them to be able to use that search data to improve Siri, just like Google does.
What if we have been experiencing their search engine for years and didn't realize it? I mean, Google or Apple Maps.
And Spotlight.
And Spotlight, that could definitely be part of their own search engine. But then also the App Store and iTunes Store searching.
Yeah.
And if that's the case.
That's pretty sad.
Yeah. That's
the case. But Maps is a search engine today. Apple Maps. Mm-hmm. So... And that is the sort of local data in particular. That's probably why Siri did so well. It's It's because of the data that's coming in from maps.
Yeah, that would make sense. And one thing a lot of people don't realize, not just about Apple Maps, but Google Maps, a substantial portion of the business information that you find when you do a map search, that's because someone from the business went and actually put it into the system for Google. And Apple has the same thing. So if you have a business and you want people to find you, you go in and do the whole Google business thing. You need to turn around and go and do it for maps also.
Apple Maps. Right. Okay. Then we got, this isn't actually even our topic. So this is,
that was a great prelude to the topic.
We're still preluding, cause there's navigation where Apple, Google won 91% to Apple's 87 or 3. Can't read that.
I thought it was 87.
I think it's 83. It's 83. Okay. So, that actually makes sense. Google, generally speaking, I think most people think that Google Maps does better directions. I personally think Apple Maps looks better and prefer its interface. To each their own there. Mm-hmm. Then we've got information. Information is defined as who do the Twins play tonight? The A lady came in second, whereas Apple came in third, mm-hmm. and Google was first at 93%.
Yeah.
So fix that, Apple. And then we have the command category, which is something like remind me to call Steve at 2 p.m. That was your example. Apple actually won that one at 90%, beating Google 78%, and the other also wins.
And that one doesn't surprise me, because it's felt to me like Apple has been looking at the S Lady platform as this type of tool, not a trivia machine. And so being able to schedule an appointment for you, especially with as tightly integrated as all of Apple services are.
Yeah, it should be even better than it is.
Yeah, it's but still, I mean, for where we are with the technology, that is surprisingly good.
Which is what brings us to our topic.
Okay. did I do a good setup?
Yeah, I think we did fine.
Awesome.
We've mentioned the fact before that AI and voice assistants, that this stuff is in the beginning, we're not even at version 1.0 yet, in my opinion.
Yeah, we're not even at the point where I would call this in its infancy.
We're like version 0.5 at 0.0.5. Like not even version 0.1 yet.
So have we reached embryo stage, or are we still zygote stage?
Probably still zygote stage.
All right. And yet everyone expects to have intelligence out of these systems that's far beyond what they're capable of.
Well, that's fine. That's fine, because we're being pitched. We're this stuff is being pitched to us that way.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. You know, so I mean, that's I don't really think that's on us. I think that's on Apple and Google and Amazon, and to a lesser extent, LOL Microsoft.
Yeah. And they're not doing anything to set a more reasonable expectation. And of course we have decades of movies where people just talk to a computer or an Android or some other artificial intelligence, and it's as fluid and natural as talking to another human.
Right. And that's true AI. And that's where we're headed. It's not just conversations. It's things like here are the stories that you're going to want to read today. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I see that you're running out of paper towels. but I also see that you're going on a month-long business trip, so I'm not going to order any.
That would be cool. Now I want that.
Right, of course. Right? And I mean, and it's also even, I saw you're out of paper towels, and all you did last month was complain about how awful these paper towels are. So let's try a different brand. That's an AI judgment.
Yep. At right? Which point I'd be like, wait, you're listening when I complain about paper towels?
Of course. And I want my AI listening to me as long as that data isn't being used to sell me. As long as I remain in control of that data, and it's preferably doing like what Apple does, which is keeping stuff local. Mm-hmm. I don't have any problem whatsoever with Apple rifling through my emails and paying attention to what I browse and paying attention to what I listen to and paying attention to what I read and paying attention to my new stuff, as long as Apple isn't putting that into a profile that they're then going to sell or sell access to. Right?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And at the same time, it still sounds creepy to me.
Fair enough, but it's going to be awesome if someone does it right.
Yeah, if someone does it right, if my privacy is insured and the data that's being used to make all this happen is staying local.
Yes. I actually don't. I even trust Apple to keep some of that data in the cloud if I own the keys. So for instance, there is a lot of things that need to be listened to. So there could be a lot of storage involved with listening to us. Mm-hmm. But imagine if Apple had Siri listening to us all the time, but that data was being stored in iCloud, but I had the keys. So only my copy of the S Lady could access it and the lessons derived therein. I would trust Apple to do that. If Apple told me that's what they're going to do, I would trust Apple to do it right.
All right. So would you feel comfortable with your AI saying, Brian, I've noticed you've been coughing a lot lately, and I'm concerned that maybe you've come down with a virus. Would you like me to schedule a doctor's appointment?
Absolutely. I want that. Please do that.
Brian, I noticed that there's never anyone else around. I'm concerned that you're getting lonely. Should I download Tinder for you?
That wouldn't bother me. I wouldn't take her up on it, but it wouldn't bother me.
Or would you like me to check Meetup for events that you might be interested in?
Yeah, sure. Like, hey, I noticed that you've been talking about fencing a lot. You know, there's a San Jose fencing club. Here's when they meet. Hell yeah. Right? Come on, man.
On one hand, yes. But on the other hand, I don't want to feel like I'm being judged by an artificial intelligence.
I don't, but it's not judging. It's not, judging.
Hey, you spend a lot of time at home alone.
Fine, whatever. She's still not judging. It's a data point. I mean, I get that some people might not want to be quote unquote judged in that way, but it's not actually judging. And and just because you're projecting judgment in that, I don't care. That doesn't actually change it, but a lot of people would care.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would care. I think a lot of people will totally anthropomorphize every statement that comes out of their AI.
Of course. And so therefore we need toggles. Like, don't, you know, mind your beeswax. Mind your beeswax toggle, or do not make social recommendations, or do not make suggestions based on what you hear. Even
I could just
right. It'd be really easy to just toggle that stuff on and off. And I mean, right now Apple keeps as much data as it can local, but there are limits to that. And I don't care how cheap storage gets. I think that the storage demands will probably always outpace what we would want to reasonably have on our local devices. So as long as Apple was giving our devices the keys to the data that was being stored online, both the data and the results from that data, the analysis from that data, I would be comfortable for that. I would actually be comfortable with Google doing that if that's what Google said. But that's not what Google says they'll do.
Yeah.
I would trust Google. I would actually trust Amazon. If Amazon said, this is how we're going to do it, I would believe that Amazon would do it. But again, that's not their business model. Alexa is listening to you so that they can compile a product, so that they can try to sell you more stuff, et cetera. And the difference there, I know I keep interrupting because I'm being a jerk, but I'm super stoked.
Because you're on a roll.
I am on a roll, and I apologize. But the difference here is that Siri saying, I heard you complaining about paper towels, the quality of paper towels or whatever, you know, like whatever it is that we're saying that made her say that. Would you like to try a different brand? The difference there is that Siri is trying to make a qualitative assessment to help us, whereas Amazon simply wants to sell us another roll of paper towels.
Yes. Yep. That I could totally see the scenario playing out that way. Yep.
But if Amazon said, okay, from now on, we are going to store this data in the cloud, but you own the keys. If Amazon said they were going to do that, I would actually trust Amazon to do that.
I would trust Google. Amazon to do that. I'm having a really hard time saying I could trust Google to do that.
If Google said they were going to do it, Google would do it.
Nonetheless, considering Google's business model, that's a...
Yeah, Google's not going to say this. Google's
just not going to say it.
Right. I'm just saying that if they did, I would believe them. If Facebook said they were going to do it, I wouldn't trust them. Not even a little bit.
Oh, no. Not even for a minute.
I mean, you know, Facebook has proven again and again and again that they cannot be trusted, just to put it bluntly.
Yeah, and they have no respect for our privacy.
Right. Make sure you join us over at facebook.com/groups/contextmachine, I will point out again that Facebook groups is the thing I like most about Facebook.
It is actually a really nice feature.
Just join us, you know, with eyes wide open, knowing that Facebook is profiling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But hey, it is a good page and we love interacting with all of you there.
Yep. Got a good community, folks that have joined us there, and we really appreciate it. Speaking of Facebook, they kind of got punched by the markets today. What is $119 billion they lost in market share or market cap? No.
Not market share.
Market cap.
That hurts.
It does hurt. Couldn't happen to a nicer company that's had it.
It's just, oh my God.
I'm happy to see a little bit of some of their various shenanigans coming back to haunt them. Even if I believe that there's going to be a big chunk of Wall Street that's going to see this particular drop as a buying opportunity.
I'm sure you're right. I mean, Facebook is really big.
Facebook is big. Yep.
Yeah. And so people are going to snap up those less expensive shares and their value will go back up.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I would really like to see them severely punished for their stance on privacy and the way they have mismanaged our data so that they finally had some reason to fix some stuff. I'd actually like to see a CEO come in who has more wisdom than Mark Zuckerberg. All credit to what Mark Zuckerberg has created and all criticism to his poor choices when it comes to privacy and related things. So I would like to see, but unfortunately Mark Zuckerberg would probably only be replaced with someone who is a lot worse.
Can you imagine though, if Facebook announced, we just hired this person to be our new CEO, this is going to be awesome, we're We're turning over a new leaf, and we're really dedicated to user privacy. And like a week later, the CEO quits and says, I'm sorry, this is so messed up that I can't be a part of this.
Yeah, Facebook can't actually do that without changing their business model significantly.
Yeah,
they cannot commit to privacy. They their entire raison d'etre is antithetical to privacy.
Yeah, I agree.
AI.
So how long do you think we have before we get AI that comes much closer to this vision we have?
You know, futurists tend to overestimate the near future and underestimate the far future.
Mm-hmm.
I need to get an agent and get my book published before like it becomes history.
Seriously, you do.
It's like all these things that I envisioned in my far future are becoming real around us.
Yeah, I now. Know it is fascinating. I mean, it's having read your book in multiple iterations. The one thing that I can say that fits into this right now is, yeah, there's stuff in your book that when you wrote it was far future. And at this point, I'm wondering if some of those things will be real before your book gets published, which is not to say I think it's going to take hundreds of years for your book to get published, just to be clear. I think the technology is advancing so fast that there are elements that you wrote about as fiction that will be fact.
Well I think one of them is, and I still haven't gone to read the story, but Google has a patent for extending machine learning to Internet of Things devices.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, and that is stepping real close to my vision of how computing would work in the future.
Yeah, so we may see that part fairly soon.
Some element of it, at least. It's not, certainly not to the extent that, anyway, whatever. So we've got, the question was, how long before we start seeing some of these things? I think 5 to 10 years, and I think we're going to be able to start having some real conversations with our AI.
Okay.
Useful conversation, not just chit chat.
I'm with you. I think that within 10 years, this technology will have advanced so much that even though there will still be big limitations, it will feel very much like talking to a person.
Yeah. I mean, you know, even things like, get me tickets to a movie on, you know, on Friday or like our show. Maybe I'm trying to think of something. Maybe it's a little further off. Lady,
I want to go see Avengers 12 Friday evening. Okay, Brian, would you like me to get 2 tickets so that your girlfriend can go with you? Yeah, that'd be great. Okay, I've already checked with her schedule. You're set.
But also even being able to say, you can't because of dinner, or don't forget that you've got something to do really early the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know, let's go see a midnight showing. Well, okay, you know, before I do that, you're supposed to go hiking at 5 a.m. Are you sure you want to go see a midnight movie? Right? You know, being able to look at permutations and nuance and just things that we as humans do as a matter of course, but it's very, very difficult for computers because they're so linear.
This keeps coming back to me wanting Knowledge Navigator to be real.
Sure.
I loved that video. It was such a wonderful vision of what our interaction with technology could be.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. Okay, so that dealt with. I'm glad we could take care of that.
Yeah.
Tell us about this T2 kernel panic thing.
Okay, so there's been this problem that people have been having with the iMac Pro since it was available back in December, or starting back in December.
Yeah.
And now people are seeing the same problem with the new Touch Bar MacBook Pros, the ones that were released, like a week and a half ago. And the problem is that they keep having kernel panics. And there's a link, or there's a common element where BridgeOS shows up in these kernel panics a lot, but it seems to be related in some way to the T2 chip that's in both of these computers. And so this is the Apple designed chip that handles encryption. It handles Siri interactions. It validates or verifies that the operating system
is like a controller for the brain. Boot.
Yeah,
it's almost like a controller for the brain.
I don't think that's a good
perfect analogy. It's probably the best analogy ever been made ever.
I'm sure it probably is in your special world. It's more like a security gatekeeper.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Because this isn't managing all system processes.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's a controller. It's deciding. Anyway, whatever. Analogy aside.
I accept your apology.
It does decide some stuff, and you do not get my apology, sir.
Too late. Already took it. Ha ha.
Drats.
No.
Lillian.
Yeah. So there's these crashes that are kernel panics that are happening on these computers, and it's looking like there's something related to the T2 chip that's causing this to happen. Apple, of course, is looking into it, and I'm sure they'll be able to come up with a fix at some point.
Well, they have a workaround already, right?
Yeah, they do have a workaround. Oh, man. Okay, so the workaround is you have to reinstall the operating system.
You start
that. Yeah, that's step one. Then you turn off File Vault.
Then you cut a hole in the box.
Yeah. Well, you do have to turn off PowerNap. And and so Apple says that this will probably fix the problem for you. They don't guarantee it. Just it will probably fix
the problem. It stops the symptoms. It doesn't fix the problem.
Yeah.
Now, because you don't get some key features there.
Yeah, you do not. Now, users are saying, yeah, that's great, Apple. Thanks. But here's what else we have to do. They have to turn off all power management. They have to turn off the unlock with Apple Watch feature. Did I say power management?
Yeah.
Okay. There's several other. Oh, you can't use Thunderbolt 3 to Thunderbolt 2 adapters. You can't daisy chain devices.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a bunch of nonsense. I mean, it's a mess, and Apple needs.
Yeah,
but here Apple
needs to fix it.
Here's the upside to this.
At this point, you could say at least you don't get dysentery, and people would be like, yeah, okay, so that is the upside.
There's a better upside. The better upside is that unless this is a physical flaw in the T2 chip, and maybe even then. Because Apple controls the hardware and the software, because Apple designed the silicon.
Mm-hmm.
Silicon. Good Lord. Boops.
I was thinking cock. You know, like it goes between the window frame and the windowsill. What were you thinking? Oh my God.
Because Apple controls the hardware and the software, because Apple designed this chip and, pays the people that designed it. Mm-hmm. Because Apple controls the operating system, Apple can fix this.
You know, Apple does have a much higher likelihood of having a good solution to this because they do control everything.
Yeah, admittedly, because they control everything, this shouldn't be off Apple off the hook for that. But when it comes to fixing it, Apple's whole widget approach means that a fix should be relatively doable. Yeah. It is doable. It is surely doable. And it should hopefully mean that it won't even take that long to get that fix.
Well, I would like to think that, but this is a problem that's been going on since December, and here it is the end of July, and we don't have a fix.
Oh, well, there's that.
Yeah. But with all of these MacBook Pros out there and Apple already having to deal with egg on their face for the Core i9 throttling, yep. which they did get an update out for very yep. quickly. You know, maybe there's a new bee burning under their bonnet, to mix a metaphor. Or wow. Three. Thank you.
That's like you took the food processor.
Yeah.
And then you started shoveling in metaphors, and then you put it on high.
Yeah. Hey, but you go know, ahead,
please.
If you're going to mix your metaphors, go big or go home. Maybe this is the incentive that Apple needed to really kick up work on this and work on getting a solution sooner as opposed to later.
They shouldn't need it. They shouldn't need an incentive, but you know, whatever. That's just nitpicking.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So I'm with you. I think there's a higher likelihood that Apple can come up with a good solution because they do control everything. And in the meantime, hey, here's how you use your iMac Pro and your new 2018 Touch Bar MacBook Pro without having to worry about kernel panics. Assuming you actually turn it on, don't install anything, and maybe don't launch applications. And certainly don't plug anything into it.
certainly not. Now, in case there are any Apple employees who find themselves in need of a new job,
mm-hmm.
do you have any like advice for them?
I do. And you threw me for a loop with that fantastic segue. Seriously.
My apologies. It was actually a good segue.
It was an amazing segue. Brian, actually, yes, I do. What those people could do is log into their LinkedIn account and look for a job on LinkedIn.
Oh, that's so great because LinkedIn Jobs is sponsoring us.
Yes. So what would happen is you'd go and look and you'd find that perfect job because there's an employer out there that used LinkedIn Jobs because they got how useful this would be for them. And that's because LinkedIn Jobs is out there specifically to get the right people connected for the right job openings. So right now, if someone goes and applies for a job that's posted through LinkedIn Jobs, the likelihood an employer is going to find the right person right away is much higher because the people that are applying for those jobs tend to have the right skills and that match with whatever job requirements you have.
Sure.
And so you're getting much more qualified people applying. You're getting people that have a higher likelihood of having a true interest in your company and your job. And that means that the odds that you're going to have to fire that person and start over because they just didn't work out go down a lot. And that means saved money. And everyone's happy because you have the right employee and they have the right job. So that just seems like a great match all the way around.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, of course, you do, as a potential employer, have to pay to post your job listings on LinkedIn Jobs. But that's okay because, you know, it's a professional service. And the free job boards that you can post things on, all right, well, you have a much lower likelihood of getting valid candidates, because just like anyone's finding this stuff.
You do get what you pay for most of the time.
But you can save a little money because you listen to Apple Context Machine. So
nice.
Yeah. So here's what you need to do. You need to hurry over to linkedin.com/ACM and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/ACM to get $50 off your first job post. linkedin.com/ACM. And terms and conditions apply, because, you know, that's how business rolls.
Yep.
So, hey, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor.
Very, very, very much so. Like, help keep. Appreciate it if you showed them some love, just like they're showing us some sponsoring love.
Mm-hmm.
And indeed. So let's see here. We have also this. Oh, yeah. The update. The update. You remember that thing like I was going to do?
Yeah, I remember the thing you're going to do. We had a whole discussion on the show about whether you should buy a really nice sound bar for your television, or should you buy a second HomePod and use two HomePods? And for a lot of people, this isn't the sort of thing that they should consider. But because of your setup, where the Apple TV is truly the nexus of your television viewing experience.
Yes.
It's
that because of my job.
Yeah. And your job, blah, blah, blah. So even though we had listeners who said, Brian, don't do it. You need to get a good sound bar.
You get a good sound bar because otherwise you're just nuts.
And so you're like, okay, sweet. And you went and bought a second HomePod. And so now you're using Apple TV with two HomePods as a home stereo sound system for your television.
Correct. And let me tell you what. First of all, let me tell you why I ended up making that decision. A couple of reasons. One is Apple announced support for Dolby Atmos soundbars.
Uh-huh.
Soundbars with Dolby Atmos in Apple TV 4K.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are soundbars with Dolby Atmos that have been announced, but most of them aren't shipping. Or at least they weren't a month ago, 6 weeks ago when I made this decision.
Okay.
And I'm sure that there will be many more options in a few months, and probably some prices will be better because they are expensive.
Yeah.
Okay. Secondly, if I liked having my two HomePods for stereo sound, yay. Yeah. If I did not like having my two HomePods for stereo sound, I will happily redeploy them to other parts of my house for music and HomeKit automation.
Okay.
Right. So it wasn't a, even if I don't like it, even if I didn't like it, it wasn't going to be a lost investment, because I do like, there's a lot about HomePod though. So that was why I made the decision. The advice to most people who were considering this, especially now that I've tested it, is do not spend the money to get two HomePods for your TV. Spend that same money instead on either a great soundbar, or at least a really good soundbar, maybe even a multi-speaker system.
Okay. Now, from my experience with a single HomePod versus a soundbar, I'm already with you. Even though I love the audio that I get from my HomePod, I just don't like it as the sound output for the TV shows and movies that I watch. But I'm betting that there are other reasons for you, just a hunch.
Well, so first of all, I was able to get HomePods from Costco for $299 instead of $349.
Okay, so you saved $100.
Around two of them, yes.
Yes.
So if you can get your HomePods from Costco, I encourage you to do so. That's the two of them would be the cost of a membership, almost. Actually, more than the cost of the base membership. The biggest thing, like, the sound quality from two of them is good. Mm-hmm. And the stereo works, but even in my not overly large living room, I feel like it could go louder. And part of that is because the sound quality is so good at high volumes, but I feel like it could go louder than it can actually go. I want it to go louder than it'll actually go, for at least for event watching, like, you know, like a superhero movie.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Right. You know, or an action movie, or, you know, something with lots of sound. I feel like I could go louder without bothering neighbors. How's that?
Okay.
Secondly, there's this thing that Apple TV does that annoys the crap out of me. And that's that it forgets, or it just, I don't know if it forgets or if it just resets. But I will set it to my two home stereo HomePods, and those were super easy to set up, by the way. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back to my TV maybe after a day or two, and it has forgotten all about the HomePods, and it's playing through the TV speaker.
Okay.
Like what? And I experienced this with two different Apple TVs on two different TVs.
Uh-huh.
So this is not some weird quirk with the two HomePods. And I'm undergoing puberty right now.
Oh, so you're going to have so many new revelations.
I am,
a new perspective on the world.
Indeed. Did you know, by the way, that girls are pretty?
I have heard that girls are pretty.
Yeah. So this isn't an issue with just the dual HomePod setup. It is an issue with Apple TV and HomePod, and it just forgets. And you've got to stop whatever you're watching, get over to settings, change it back, and then go back to watching again. It is ridiculous. It is freaking ridiculous that this is the case. And by the way, I thought maybe it might have been like because I have used my HomePod speaker for something else, like playing music.
Mm-hmm.
But I have very specifically tested it and noted that I did not start using my HomePod speakers for something else, and the TV would still forget.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it relates to you doing anything other than streaming from Apple TV. Like, if you say, hey, S lady, what's the weather? If that's okay, so enough to kick it off.
This has happened when those speakers have not engaged. So, for instance, I'm sitting at my desk. So, yeah, the reality is I actually ended up getting two more HomePods, by the way.
You're getting two more HomePods?
No, I did get two more. So I've got two on the TV and I've got one on my desk for my... It's ridiculous. I know it's ridiculous.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
But I do.
We need
but
to
I
stage intend, an intervention.
They're going to be deployed elsewhere in my house for other uses once I eventually get a Dolby Atmos somewhere.
I think you still need an intervention.
Maybe. Nonetheless, this behavior that I'm talking about has happened when you those other HomePods may have been listening, but did not actually respond because the nearer device responded.
Okay. Yep.
And if that is kicking them off the TV, that's still ridiculous. There's a politically incorrect R word that I'm trying not to use it because it is actually really, it's a really thing to say. And I'm trying to eradicate that from my lexicon. But yeah,
also I have to edit, and you know how I feel about that.
It is ridiculous that you have to go back in and like the Apple TV. If I tell the Apple TV to play music through my HomePods, it should play music through my HomePods until I change it. Period. Because why? I mean, you don't change that. I mean, like even if I were to start playing music through that HomePod,
mm-hmm.
when I turn on the TV, Apple TV should reassert itself with those HomePods.
I agree.
Because that's what I changed. That's what I set up. So with this in mind, I do not recommend two HomePods for your TV viewing. Just take that $600 or that $700 if you're gonna spend that much, and buy a great soundbar, a good soundbar with additional speakers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the better use of your money.
Yep, I'm with you. I think that sounds like a great plan.
This, despite the fact that it is good sound, I do enjoy the sound that comes out for sure. Here's a funny thing. I was watching, this is on the TV, so admittedly this HomePod's pretty close to me,
mm-hmm.
right? But I was watching a TV show that was quiet, like artificially quiet, and a commercial came on that was louder, and there was a car door shutting in that commercial,
uh-huh.
and I felt it in my chest because it was super loud.
All right. Well, that's cool. I have had situations where my HomePod played a sound like someone walking or, you know, something that could also be a sound you hear in your environment, Foley type sounds.
Uh-huh.
And it caught me off guard. And I've looked around to see if there was someone in my place when I was alone. And yeah, so I get awesome sound off of it. But I'm not seeing using HomePod or a set of HomePods as your audio system for your television.
If you've got a limited amount of space and you want the HomePod for other things and you're comfortable without having stereo, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually delighted with having a HomePod on my desk that I use for my work TV, I guess I should call it.
For your
because you know I interact with Siri through it. I will play music through it. I do testing through it sometimes, and I watch TV too.
Mm-hmm.
And for all those things combined, love the HomePod on my desk. Love it, love it, love it. And it's more than loud enough for that. One of them is way more loud than louder. For this particular application and setting.
You really had a hard time with that.
I'm tired, man. Low sleep.
Yeah. Yep. No sleep. That's a bad thing. I'm with you. I love the sound for my HomePod. It is my primary place for playing music when I'm home, of course.
Right.
And
it's the two of them in the living room that I'm not. Despite being okay with the, despite finding the listening experience when, you know, I don't have to redo the settings, despite finding the listening experience to be satisfactory, it's not $600 or $700 worth of satisfactory.
Yeah. And I had been thinking about at some point down the road, getting a second HomePod.
Uh-huh.
And I've decided, and this is even before we had this chat, but now especially with this chat, I'm fine with just one. I don't need a second HomePod.
Well, what about for another room? What about for doing whole home music listening?
You know, I could do that, but...
And what if you were HomeKit only?
If I was HomeKit only, then that would probably change that, but...
You'd be cranky about spending the money, but you do it anyway.
I'd have a really hard time justifying it, especially because I can take my iPhone in the bedroom and talk to that.
Just like Picard did.
Exactly like Picard
did. Where he tapped his, you know, communicator on his chest before he talked to the computer. Wait, no, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
So one last thing on that. We both know that that Apple does need the Dot like competitor, not cheap, mm-hmm. cheap, crappy like Dot, but something that is inexpensive that is aimed towards listening, so that you can augment your house for whole home listening. Whole home listening. That's the phrase. There's whole home audio. We want whole home listening.
Yeah, whole home listening. I would like that. And, you know, the funny thing is, I already have that with a lady.
Yeah.
And I have used that. Sometimes I will stream music still from my Echoes. And when I do it, it's because I want to be able to hear the music in the living room and through the back of my place too. So it's everywhere. But there've also been a couple times where I'll start music on the HomePod and I'll say, "Hey, S lady, louder." And it gets loud enough that it's not disturbing my neighbors, but I can still hear it all the way in the back of my place.
Sure.
Yeah, all with one HomePod. And if I repositioned it so it was more central in my place, I seriously could have whole home audio with a single HomePod.
With whole home listening?
Yeah. Because the audio would be filling enough that it would cover. Actually, if I moved my HomePod into my office, that's the central room in my place, then I could probably clearly listen to music from every room in my place.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that's not the point. The point is I really like the audio, and I'm with you. It's not a television sound system.
No, not for your living room.
No, certainly not.
Dorm room? Sure.
Yeah.
Office? Or,
yeah, I'm with you there.
Right.
Yeah.
But not a living room, especially not for a large living room. All righty. Thanks to LinkedIn for being our sponsor.
Yes, LinkedIn Jobs. Thank you. Head over to their website, linkedin.com/ACM, and get $50 off your first job post. So, yeah, thank you, LinkedIn Jobs, for being our sponsor. I guess that means we're done. So it's about time for us to wrap up.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And, hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the people at the Mac Observer. Most of them are good. The rest are me. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly, and the bass is by Poom, recorded just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And, hey, stay subscribed. We love you.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Tahoe Scheme, man. I'm telling you. I'm your guide. Let's do it.